The following is a compilation of all of the FAQ articles posted in June 2013. The first one is entitled, Correlation Between Refuge of Lies and Mingling of Faith. Mike, is there a correlation between the words that sweep away the refuge of lies and the mingling of faith? Revelation 8, verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Hebrews 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And Acts 10, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Thanks, signed J. Hi, J. Yes, indeed, there is a correlation between the fire and the hail, both of which symbolize the word of God, and which sweep away the refuge of lies, and the fact that the word of God, when not mixed with faith, actually becomes the refuge of lies, and is twisted and wrested into lies when it is not mixed with faith. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, as they do also with other scriptures unto their own destruction. They that are unlearned and unstable are those who are without faith and who rest or twist the word of God into the lies that must be swept away by the hail and the fire of God's word. Isaiah 28, verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Jeremiah 5, verse 14, wherefore thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I hope that answers your question. If not, let me know. Signed, Mike. Our next FAQ is entitled, Do We Now Keep the Ten Commandments Spiritually? Posted June 17, 2013. Mike, I really enjoyed your article on the Law of Moses versus the Law of Spirit. Thank you. Got to one section and didn't know if I'm still misunderstanding a concept. I thought I was following you, and when I came to this part, I started to get confused again. I thought you were both saying the same thing, but apparently not. This is what one writer has to say regarding the Old Covenant. Quoting from this other writer, notice instead of writing his laws on tablets of stone, he will put them in their minds and hearts. 1. The terms on the part of the people haven't changed. They still must obey his law, the Ten Commandments, but he, by putting them into their hearts and minds, has made it possible to do so. And 2. Now we have the spirit of the law, the covenants, the law and grace by Henry Anderson. Pages 9 and 11. Is this really why God wants to give us a spirit, so that we can, by that spirit, keep the letter of the law? What does the above writer think Paul meant when he said, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life, of 2 Corinthians 3:6? So my two questions. 1. The terms on the part of the people haven't changed since they must obey the spirit of his law, the Ten Commandments, i.e. types of beatitudes, not the spirit or letter of the Old Testament laws. I was wondering if that is what he meant. And question 2, now we have the law of the spirit of the law. If I rephrase that, is he saying Now we have the spirit or the letter of the law, its original intent, which seems like that would be a good thing. I'm stumped at this point. I keep thinking the Holy Spirit is naturally helping us keep the spirit of the Ten Commandments, which we couldn't do on our own, which is the same as fulfilling the Beatitudes. Thank you again, signed, G. Hi, G. Thank you for your questions concerning the paper entitled The Law of God versus the Law of Moses. Yes, the writer I quoted believes what most Christians believe. They believe that the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses are spiritual, and that the gift of the Holy Spirit simply gives them the ability to keep them. Nothing is further from the truth. The truth is that the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses are carnal commandments, which Paul and the rich young ruler kept from their youth up, and which still amounted to nothing more than the righteousness which is of the law. Galatians 3 verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Romans 10 verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. Philippians 3 verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The law of Moses was a carnal commandment for a carnal nation. The simple truth about the law of Moses is that the law is not of faith, and it is therefore not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, who by faith will see and obey the Spirit of God's word and not the carnal commandment, which has to be changed into a new covenant for the new man. Look at this very plain statement by God's apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and ask God for eyes to see and ears to hear. 1 Timothy 1 verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. The law is not made for a righteous man, but it is made for a carnal man because it is a carnal commandment for the carnal minded. Hebrews 7 verse 12 and 16. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment for the lawless, but after the power of an endless life. I hope this helps you to see that the law of Moses really was a ministration of death, not of faith, not for a righteous man, a carnal commandment for the lawless and disobedient, whereas the law of the Spirit is an entirely new covenant, the ministration of the Spirit with new promises and a changed law for a changed new man. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here is how Christ reacted when his own disciples applied the law of Moses, which clearly taught an eye for an eye in Luke 9. Verses 54 through 56. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. The Holy Spirit did not give up the Spirit so that we can now keep a law which is not for a righteous man but for the lawless. Please take time to read that paper, and if needed, reread it. The Law of Moses is not of faith, nor was it ever intended to be for a righteous man. The Law of the Spirit is both of faith and is for a righteous man. When Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal," he is not referring to a carnal commandment for the lawless. He is referring to the Law of the Spirit. Your brother in Christ, Mike. Our next FAQ is entitled, "Is Death the Result of Sin?" by Larry Grunewald, posted June 18. It is commonly believed in Christendom that man would not have died if Adam and Eve did not disobey God, and that death was a result of Adam and Eve's sin or actions. I think we must first understand what sin is defined as and what trespass is all about according to the scriptures. There is an important distinction to be seen here, although they are both evil. God gave Israel, in the wilderness, five offerings, namely the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. The first three offerings were called sweet-smelling offerings, and the last two were called the non-sweet-smelling offerings. Our understanding will be enlightened when we can see the distinction between the sin offering and the trespass offering. Our natural man cannot see this distinction, and this is blocking our understanding of what sin is and what trespass is. Mike Vinson posted an in-depth study on all of these offerings, and it will be advisable to read through these studies or listen to the audios on the Is, Was, and Will Be website, especially as relating to these non-sweet-smelling offerings with which we are concerned here. Scripturally, the definition of sin is basically to miss the target or mark. Judges 20, verse 16. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. And that word miss is the Hebrew word shatah. These 700 men did not miss their mark or target. This Hebrew word shatah is translated as sinned 102 times, sin 69, sinneth 13, sinner 8 in the KJV. Flesh misses the mark from its first creation, the first man Adam, because it is not spirit. John 3 verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. From this word shatah, we get a very interesting variation, which appears the first time in scripture in this verse, in Genesis 4 verse 7. Genesis 4, 7, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin, kata or kataath, lies at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. Kata or kataath also refers to sin, as this verse clearly shows. Sin is here referred to with two personal pronouns, namely his and him, and the Greek Septuagint confirms this in Genesis 4 verse 7. This is the APB version. If not rightly you brought, not divided you sinned. Be still, to you shall be his submission, and you will control him. G 1473. His submission and control him. This Greek word connected with Strong's number G 1473 is a primary pronoun of the first person, I or me, according to Dr. Strong. This gives us a very clear indication that sin is what the person is. Sin was at Cain's door, Adam and Eve transgressed because of what they were. Their physical condition was given to them and was a weak vessel from the start. Here are Jesus' words about our natural condition in Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is compared to the spirit. Flesh is missing the mark, and that mark is spirit. God is spirit, and Adam and Eve were flesh from the dust out of the ground. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Adam's condition was a marred body in the hand of the potter, because that is what flesh is, not what it became. Jeremiah 18, verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand, Genesis 2, 7, formed of the dust of the ground, of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Flesh is therefore the definition of what sin is. Before Adam did anything, he was in a body of this death from the start, and that is why Paul calls it a wretched condition in Romans 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? To confirm this, just look at what is in Eve's heart before she took of the fruit and transgressed the commandment of God. Remember, Eve was taken out of Adam. Adam's heart was the same as Eve's. In Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with him, and he did eat. This is exactly correlating with what is in the world in 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, i.e. the tree was good for food, and the lust of the eyes, i.e. it was pleasant to the eyes, and the pride of life, i.e. a tree to be desired to make one wise, is not of the Father, but is of the world. This physical cosmos, as the original Greek states. The physical body is a temporary vessel of clay, and it was never eternal or spirit, because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. The body is called corruption in that verse because it is corrupt, in a state of decay from its creation. Only that which is made of spirit is called incorruption or non-decaying. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Jesus came in that same body of death, and he would have died eventually. His violent death on a cross has another reason for our purposes. Jesus is the only proof that a perfect person can die when he has a flesh and blood body. Jesus never committed an offense against his Father, but was killed because of our offenses. Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for, the word dia, which means through, our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. That is why he came in the flesh as our sin offering, and because of our offenses, he was our trespass offering, dia, through. He related with us in every aspect. Just look at what his fleshly temporary body was called. The words to be are added in the KJV to cause confusion. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for he has made him sin, not to be sin. He has made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was made sin, although he did not sin, transgress. When did the Father make Jesus sin? When he was formed in his mother's womb. Psalms 51 verse 5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Do these words only apply to David and not to Adam and Jesus and all who have been given a flesh and blood body? I cannot see that. Mary's body was formed in sin and in iniquity, the same body we have with all of the pulls of the flesh. Mary's egg, which was fertilized by the Spirit of God, had all the sinful DNA of David and Adam. Hebrews confirms this in chapter 2, verses 14, 17, and 18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Wherefore, in all things, it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, to comfort them that are tempted. Jesus came in the same flesh as us and Adam. Otherwise, his victory over the flesh is meaningless. It is only meaningless to those who are of the spirit of the Antichrist. 1 John 4, verses 2 and 3. Hereby we know you, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Jesus coming in sin, and never committing a sin, a trespass, gives us the clearest distinction we need to have between the sin offering and the trespass offering. We cannot choose our bodies, but we can make choices about what we do in this body. God willing, sin is the human body's condition made like that by the Creator. Adam and Eve transgressed because they were caused to do so by God, who gave them their weak sin condition. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, Adam and Eve did not eat of the tree of life at any time while they were in the garden, but their transgression made it clear to them what they were, dust and naked. They had no desire to eat of that tree of life, and even today we can see that. Genesis 3, verses 22 and 23, And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. And here is why Adam and Eve did not eat of the tree of life from the beginning. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Flesh does not like the tree of life. That tree of life never pleased the flesh, the eyes, nor the pride of life in us. God himself placed all those fleshly attractions, referencing 1 John 2:16, in the other tree. Genesis 3 verse 6, And when the woman saw that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Yes, by one man sin entered into the world. We all have the same body of flesh, which is sin. All the sin that can ever be in this world is in our Adamic body before we do anything. Psalm 51 verse 5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I hope this explains why Adam and Eve were sin before they committed a transgression, and why death is the result of being in a sinful, temporary, marred body of clay. Your brother in Christ, Larry.